Welcome to the Upper Hand Podcast, where Chuck and Chris talk hand surgery.
We are two hand surgeons at Washington University in St. Louis, here to talk about all things hand surgery related, from technical to personal.
Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
And thank you in advance for leaving a review and leaving a rating wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hey, Chris.
Hey, Chuck. How are you?
I am doing really well. Really well. What about you?
I'm fantastic. I feel like an old guy. I just had 10 minutes of IT support to myself to try to set up Bluetooth headphones because for some reason it wasn't working. And then I'm trying to figure out whether I should switch to a Mac or not. And it's a mess.
Well, to the latter point, you definitely should switch to a Mac. But my children make fun of my wired old school Bose headphones that are, you know, earbuds. But man, they are completely reliable, and I do need some wireless, I know, but these are reliable and great.
Yeah, you know, apparently there is some kind of lag if you use wireless or Bluetooth, so I think that a purist, an audiophile, would say that you have to use something wired. I was actually shopping for a soundbar this week for our TV, because, you know, apparently that's a thing, and I was all about trying to, yeah, we did. I was trying all about trying to hide, you know, go wireless fully. And the guy at the store was trying to talk me out of it. Cause honestly, it ruins the aesthetic for the TV that we have. So
wait, what'd you get?
We have one of those frame TVs that looks all artsy and whatnot. So I ended up getting the matching soundbar for that. And it does have a completely wireless capability with the exception of power. And you'd think they'd figure out some kind of solar system so that you didn't need a power cord, but yeah, we got to do that at least.
Yeah, I think the soundbar makes a difference, but I'm no audiophile, so, you know, all works okay.
So you're not in your basement right now. Where are you?
I was wondering if you were going to notice. I am in St. Vincent, wrapping up a week-long mission trip, which has been remarkable.
Well, I think we're going to spend the time this week talking about that on the pod. So if you want to jump right in and tell us about the trip and kind of how you ended up there, and this ain't your first rodeo there, so...
Yeah, I guess I should start by saying that we have a great team, and it's a team sport. And so we have one of our fellows, David Wright, who has been absolutely incredible on this trip. You know, some of the things that we value in, I guess I would say, normal life are accentuated in a place that is, you know, can be a little challenging. And so David has been just incredible, doing anything and everything to make the trip a success. Been fun to hang out. So I think he's enjoyed it, even though congenital's probably not in his future. But there was a lot of post-traumatic and spasticity and things like that, which we'll get to. So David's been great. We had Betsy, who's a remarkable OR nurse. Michelle, who's a remarkable occupational therapist. We had Mike Montana, who is an anesthesiologist at Children's, who's been awesome. And then we had a scribe. So really great group, and that's what has made the trip a success.
How did you assemble that team? Because I feel like most people who go on trips like this, you know, don't have that big of a team, or perhaps they do, and that's the way you should do it.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the trip. I know that the Hand Society has a Touching Hands trip right now. I want to say it's in Guatemala, where there's 30 people. Now, those are not all surgeons. I don't know exactly the breakdown, but there were at least 6 or 8 surgeons included in that group. So I don't know what their ratios were. So I guess I should say I appreciate the support of the Hand Society for our trip as well. The Touching Hands Project helped support this trip. But the trip was really put on by the World Pediatric Project, which I believe we talked about. And you certainly know my close relationship with the World Pediatric Project. And they do trips for multiple different specialties, and Eastern Caribbean and Central American trips. And this is the Eastern and really Southern Caribbean trip. So for this trip, that's what we need. Those are the people that we need to make it a success, and a success it was.
Now, I think we've talked about the World Pediatric Project on past podcasts, but for those that didn't listen to those episodes, can you tell us just like a little bit about the project? I know that you're involved at a leadership or a board level, right?
Yes, I have recently gotten involved in the last year or so. Yeah, the World Pediatric Project was founded in Richmond, Virginia in about 2011, joined with a group called Healing the Children in St. Louis to really make a remarkable organization, which actually has come out of the pandemic stronger, and it's relatively well-funded. Its impact is incredible. It used to be primarily we'd bring kids to the States for really complicated care, And now there are mission trips going out regularly, 1 to 2 a month or more. And some of these are operative. And while we were down here, there's actually a NICU team educating the local doctors and working with some sick kids. So that's been fun to see.
So how does a trip like this work logistically?
Well, first of all, I would say there's a lot of work that goes into the trip well before the trip happens. So for this trip, I was in Barbados for a long weekend, which may sound nice. I promise you it was all work and a lot of travel. I left on a Friday, came back on a Sunday, and with a partner of mine, saw 100 patients in clinic. And many of those patients came over. Those Barbados patients are supported by the Sandy Lane Charitable Trust. And for those sophisticates in the audience, Sandy Lane is a really high-end hotel, one of the best in the world, and they do a lot for the island. So anyways, I was in Barbados, saw a bunch of kids. Many of those came over for surgery on this trip. I've done a lot of Zoom and reviewing patient files, all in preparation for this meeting, for this trip. And in actuality, we had a tentative surgical plan. Now, that sort of flew out the window when we got here, but so we traveled on Saturday. On Sunday, we saw 55 patients. Then after clinic, we spent a lot of time piecing together the surgical schedule for the week. And we scheduled and performed 18 surgeries over the course of the week. And we're coming back today, which is Saturday, the day before the podcast drops. Really a remarkable week. Very, you know, we were efficient as heck. It was really impressive how turnover times were low, and Betsy had done a remarkable job planning for what we needed. So there's so many logistical things that go into the success of a trip like this. But we can talk about some of the principles of what success looks like, but really great.
So two things. One, I'm not surprised by your efficiency. I think anybody that knows the Chuck Goldfarb brand would not be surprised by that, but that's incredible. The second thing is, before we dive into the clinical content and the cases you did and how you made it so efficient, we do have to talk about our friend PracticeLink.
And we should. They are our friends, and we should, I think it's been an interesting process, and certainly identification of the perfect job is a really important step for any young physician or surgeon.
Well, you know, when you get back, Chuck, I have a variety of PracticeLink hats for you to pick from. Ken Ullman has provided us swag. My son Raphael already picked the blue one, but there's a white, a gray, and a black PracticeLink hat for you to rock when you get home.
I love
it. The upper hand is sponsored by PracticeLink.com, the most widely used physician job search and career advancement resource. Becoming a physician is hard. Finding the right job does not have to be.
Join PracticeLink for free today at www.practicelink.com and check our show notes for the link as well. Yeah, so good partnership, and it's a pleasure to work with PracticeLink.
Yes, you will need that hat when you get back to St. Louis because it is frigid here. It is, I think it's 20 degrees outside, which is crazy because it was 74 on Wednesday. So
we were having a team dinner last night discussing what surprised us about this trip, and I've been here before, so nothing really surprised me other than it has rained an incredible amount. And thankfully this morning, we don't leave till a little later today, but this morning is beautiful, so hopefully we'll get to enjoy a little nice weather before we head home.
Well, I'm glad you get to enjoy that. I will say I did look up in Celsius for our international listeners what that is. It is currently -2 degrees Celsius in good old San Luis, Missouri, USA. But all right, anyway, tell us, you said 18 cases in a week on an international trip. That's pretty phenomenal. So how many days of the week were you doing surgery? Was it every day? And then tell us a little about what kind of cases you did.
We operated Monday through Thursday, and we were really good. We scheduled things nicely. So we would leave the hotel early in the morning, 6:30, 6:45, fight a little traffic, get to the only hospital on the island, the Milton Cato Hospital. The World Pediatric Project essentially owns one of their ORs, employs staff on the ground to keep the operation running 365 days a year. And so then we would start operating about 8:15, and every day we got back to the place around 6:30. So long days, not incredibly long days, but long days, but busy days, a lot of, hard work to keep things moving. Our cases were a mix of some congenital, but mostly not, some post-traumatic. For an example, we had a patient with a bad burn with serious contractures, which we treated, a post-traumatic fracture with a subsequent tendon rupture. that had been treated here on the island, and a remarkable number of cerebral palsy kids. And lastly, perhaps to bring it home for you, plenty of brachial plexus palsy. So we did a couple of proximal humerus osteotomies, which these were older kids, and that's the right approach. One of them was a revision, and that was might have been one of the tougher cases on the trip.
Do you have fluoroscopy during the case?
We do. There's one large C-arm, which is shared, and thankfully, we really didn't need it much for anything, but it's nice to check at the end. It was not a lot of bony work. I felt more like a plastic surgeon than an orthopedic surgeon, which is, you know, obviously great. But we did have that available to us.
Well, I mean, I think that in a resource challenged environment at times, it probably is best not to rely on, doing cases that rely on a lot of, either resources like implants or the technology that we use in the operating room. We're fortunate enough to have in the operating room. So it's great that you're able to find a bunch of cases you could just, you know, rely on your loops and your hands.
For sure. And we, you know, OrthoPediatrics is a company that has supported these trips, and they supported us as well. We had, we used their small fragment trays a couple of times, but had other options, including a wrist fusion. We thought we might do a wrist fusion, and the reality was we didn't do it. But the other interesting thing on this island is not a lot of pain medication. You know, it reminds me how differently our physicians approach post-surgical care in the United States and how different patient expectations are.
Will you change your practice at all when you come back to the States?
Well, I'm going to be practicing in the States, so I don't think so. but, you know, when you have a 15-year-old kid where you do a painful humerus osteotomy and you give them maybe one dose of narcotics and they're fine with Tylenol and Motrin, it's really crazy.
It's a very different societal expectations. The current fellow that's with me, Jess Billig, has done a ton of research in the health services space, including on opiates. She's pushing me to try to, decrease the amount that I prescribe. And I actually think I'm pretty good already. It certainly is good to re-examine our processes, but I think there is a certain expectation in our, at least in our little microcosm of St. Louis that, there are some narcotics prescribed after every surgery, right or wrong.
Oh, for sure. For sure. A couple of interesting things. So, Betsy did a great job of putting, the trip together and making sure we had all the equipment. We brought a lot of what we needed, and we'll take it back. And there's certainly equipment here on the ground. And Betsy had literally everything or knew everything was available. But sounding like a privileged surgeon from the States, a pair of Adson pickups is not the same as a pair of Adson pickups. I mean, there are very significant differences. And dissecting scissors, which we know are important, vary tremendously. And so we were actually trying to pick our trays based on the case. So if it was a more technical case, well, I need that pair of scissors. Or if it was a less technical case, well, that tray with the crappy Adsons will be fine. It's just those little things, because they really do matter, even though I consider myself a pretty flexible surgeon, and we knew we were going to get through the case, but it just is more enjoyable and more simplistic with the right stuff.
One thing I noticed when my last trip, I was in Brazil, and certainly not a resource challenged environment relative to where you are. But, the surgeon there that I was visiting owned all of his instruments. And he had to bring them, he and his nurse or tech had to bring them OR to OR, and she was responsible for bringing that to all the different ORs. So, he was buying his own instruments online and then, having them shipped to Brazil, and he was responsible for transporting them, cleaning them, sterilizing them, all of that, which was just very different than what we're used to. And I'm sure that you were missing your tenotomies and your wonderful forceps. And, I was just a children's rolling around in all the Gold Farm trays.
Yeah. You get used to the stuff you have, and you want your stuff that makes you feel comfortable. But, again, all went well. I had fun with, I think I spoke about it on the podcast, but at the hand study, I went to this, a great meeting about, international work. And I was recommended that we buy some little wireless mics for the iPhone. I did purchase those. They're inexpensive. And, oh, nice. And it looks like you're showing me that you have some. And I brought them with me, and I interviewed a number of the kids and parents before the surgery. It was part of the kind of the flow in the day. It was fantastic. First of all, the mics are awesome, and it does make the video more powerful. But just talking to the families and getting a sense of kind of with their expectations and talking through what are reasonable expectations was really fun and obviously important.
So What are you going to do with that footage?
I shared it with, so that the families have all signed off on social media use. And I don't know that I will personally use it, but I shared it with the Hand Society and the World Pediatric Project because they hopefully will find it useful. I did keep a daily blog for both organizations as well and shared some pictures with them. So Dave and I were laughing last night that we hadn't taken a lot of pictures together. There were some group pictures and some OR pictures, but we were worried, Dave was worried that you would be angry with him without a good picture to document the trip. So we took a bunch last night.
Wonderful. The WashuHand Instagram account is going to be very happy with that. And its social media director will be very happy as well. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Two questions to bring it to a close. So what do you think is the most rewarding part about this particular trip? And then also, if one wants to get started in doing this kind of work, because I'm sure you're piquing a lot of interest in listeners, how does one get started?
Maybe I'll answer the second question first. For hand surgeons, the Touching Hands Project is a remarkable resource from the Hand Society. So, you know, reach out to them with your interest and they'll try to figure out how to make it happen. And usually, as I mentioned, their trips are larger. So you go with experienced surgeons and figure it out. Jim Chang is the medical director for Resurg International, another remarkable organization that does really great trips. And so I think the key is, at least from my simplistic approach, is find an organization that is doing this, has done this, and learn from them, partner with them, and then you can figure out if you want to go in a different direction. So I think partnering with the right organization, number one, helps assure success, and two, just, you know, smooths the path in front of you significantly.
Is there often a hand therapist that comes with you on these trips? And was your therapist in the OR with you on this trip, or?
Yeah, so there's all every trip I've done, there's been a hand therapist, whether it's seeing patients in clinic or operating. And yes, and Michelle Burke, who I've known forever from the Shrine, came with us. So during clinic, she would see patients and talk to them about surgery or non-surgical care. And then every day during the week, she had a full day of clinic. And some of those were pre-op, some of those were post-op, some of those were just purely non-operative care. So for the hand surgeon, I mean, my God, it's an incredible resource to have. And then your first question was around, you know, what do we find most enjoyable, most valuable, most rewarding about a trip like this? And I would say that so much from a personal level, the team, you know, is really great. And that bonding that you get where, you know, in St. Louis, you know, you do your surgery and you're running off to a meeting or running off to talk or do this or running home. And here it's all about the team. It's all about the mission. And that's great. And that's great. The ability to provide care that otherwise would not be provided is also remarkable. And the families, I don't want to say they're more grateful or differently grateful. They're grateful. They're grateful for the opportunity to achieve care. And a lot of them are traveling to get this care. And it really is quite satisfying. The technical part is fun too. You know, working closely with Dave to do these surgeries and do them in a super high quality way. You know, we don't have a lot of capacity for complications or adverse events, and thankfully we had none. Making sure the casts are perfect because we're going to be gone. So a lot of that kind of stuff. But I guess, you know, it really is an ability to focus and help a population that would not otherwise likely receive this care that makes it rewarding primarily.
That's fantastic. I think that, you know, there are probably a couple things that I still want to ask you. How does follow-up care work? You kind of touched on it. And then when will you be back?
Yeah, so the concept of fly-in, fly-out missions are really no more, right? I mean, they shouldn't be. Those are, you know, like, you just have to assure education and you have to assure follow-up care. So we worked with, there's a medical school on the island. So we worked with some medical students. We worked with some of the interns and surgeons in the hospital just to share what we were doing and how we approach things. Now, I don't know that the type of more complicated cases that we do will be done by others, but that kind of relationship building was really nice. And then the follow-up care, again, critical to make sure that is taken care of. The WPP works with different surgeons who will agree to see the patients. We have a very comprehensive plan for each child. And then I'm available 24/7 by email. And I expect there's only a few that are ordered x-rays on, but I hope to see those x-rays, you know, in 6 to 8 weeks and can make sure things are going in the right direction. And then we'll see them when we're back. So Lindley Wall and I sort of have a deal that we will alternate surgical trips. And so we think the right cadence is once a year. Although if the WPP post-pandemic, you know, I hate to use the word, but markets that are availability, it may be more frequently than that. But right now we will trade off and it works well. And so I went in 18 to St. Vincent. She went in 19, pandemic hit. And this is our first trip back. But I think we have plenty of volume. We just have to make sure the different islands are aware of our presence.
Well, congrats on another fantastic trip and have some safe travels home. And I hope you brought something to wear when you get off the plane because it is frigid outside.
Thank you. I'm not looking forward to that, but I am looking forward to being home. And yeah, as you know, it's gonna come with a bang on Monday morning. But thank you. And I look forward to talking when I get back.
All right. Sounds good.
Hey, Chris, that was fun. Let's do it again real soon.
Sounds good. Well, be sure to check us out on Twitter at Hand Podcast. Hey, Chuck, what's your Twitter handle?
Mine is at Congenital Hand. What about you?
Mine is at ChrisDMD, spelled D-Y. And if you'd like to email us, you can reach us at handpodcast@gmail.com.
And remember, please subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
And be sure to leave a review. That helps us get the word out.
Special thanks to Peter Martin for the amazing music. And remember, keep the upper hand and come back next time.